Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay and have had a wonderful weekend. It's Monday, November 24th. Thank you for downloading today's podcast. Coming up today, we'll hear from a Kent childcare boss on how changes to government funding are impacting parents, the number of abandoned pets on the rise in Kent, and an update from our sister station KMFM's Christmas Give a Gift campaign. All that later, but first, taking a look at our top story today, and this is one of the most read stories on our website. A woman who was stabbed in front of her children in New Romney has spoken out as her attacker avoids prison. 44-year-old Michaela O'Brien was attacked outside her home by Kerri-Ann Killshaw when a disagreement over a missing tablet device spiralled out of control. Mother of eight Killshaw, who's 40 and from St Martin's Road, was shown leniency due to the impact a prison sentence would have on her children. Michaela spoke to our court reporter Julia Roberts after the sentencing.
How do you feel today about the court case? Do you feel that you got justice as you hoped for?
I don't know. She got 18 months suspended sentence. For 2 years. I don't think that's enough for me and my children and my mental health and theirs as well. It was very traumatising. I do believe she deserved it.
And obviously the judge has said today that he's taken the impact of custody on her children into consideration on suspending the sentence. Yeah. How do you feel when this obviously occurred in front of your children?
It changed us. That mentally scars for life. Her children ain't, but as a mother I do understand and I do have compassion, but I still think she should have gone to prison.
Killshaw will also have to complete rehab and pay £3,000 compensation and has been made the subject of a 10-year restraining order.
Kent Online News.
Also making news today, a Medway woman who attacked police as they arrested her over an alleged knife point robbery has been sent to prison. A court heard Angela O'Leary kicked her legs out and verbally abused the officers while being detained. The 41-year-old, who has no fixed address, has a string of offences to her name. She's been locked up for 80 days and ordered to pay £150. Meanwhile, a Kent mother of two has been found to have acted violently towards police after concerns were raised for her safety. The 24-year-old was in a drunken state in Maidstone when she kicked and headbutted two officers in December last year. She's been ordered to do rehab and mental health treatment sessions. She must also pay compensation. A woman's been arrested following a collision involving three cars and a motorbike in Sidcup. Police were called to Main Road at 9 p.m. on Friday. The biker remains in a life-threatening condition. A 21-year-old was taken in on suspicion of causing serious injury by dangerous driving and has since been released on bail. A suspected drink driver has been arrested following a serious crash on the A2 near Gravesend. The coastbound side was closed for most of yesterday after a collision involving two cars and a lorry. A 27-year-old man's in a critical condition in a London hospital, while a man in his 20s has been questioned by police and released on bail. A grieving wife has been warned she may never know what caused the sudden death of her husband at a hotel in Kent. Dad of two, Karam Ahmed Hussein, had become unwell while en route to Belgium and collapsed at the Grand Burston in Folkestone in January. A post-mortem failed to find the cause of death. An inquest is due to be held in March.
Kent Online News.
A person's been cut free from a car by firefighters following a crash in Folkestone. The collision happened in Beechborough near Newington yesterday evening. Police were also called and the person was looked after by paramedics. Crews have been called to put out a fire caused by a crash between two vehicles in Canterbury. It happened on Bigbury Road at around 3:30 yesterday afternoon. One person was passed into the care of paramedics. Elsewhere, a car's been set alight in a suspected arson attack on Rochester High Street. Two fire engines were sent to tackle the blaze at around 5:30 yesterday evening. No one was hurt, but crews think it was started deliberately. The Royal Navy has intercepted a Russian warship and tanker in the English Channel. The vessels were tracked through the Dover Strait off the coast of Kent in the last 2 weeks. Monitoring was then handed over to a NATO ally near France. Now, we've been hearing from a Kent childcare worker about how changes to government funding is helping parents across the county. Eligible working parents are now able to access 30 hours a week of free childcare for children older than 9 months. Zoe Smith is the owner of Teddy Bear Daycare in Queenborough on Sheppey. They're opening a second site in Halfway to meet demand as more parents go back to work. Zoe's been speaking to reporter Cara Simmons. Cara started things off by asking Zoe to explain a little bit about the new setting.
So it's a church that's about 5 minutes from our current setting. It's been derelict really for the last few years, and it's such a beautiful building. It's huge inside, And it was such a shame it hasn't been used for such a long time. And it was, I believe, up for sale. But obviously, with that comes lots of difficulties with the church and things. So I kind of went in and explained that I wanted to expand. I've already got my current setting with them in Queenborough. So it kind of works really well because we've got a fantastic relationship. And I can then look after that building for them, make sure it's being used and utilized for something that is really needed on the island. And then they get to keep such a fantastic building in the community.
Lovely. And explain to me, because obviously I don't have a much knowledge as you do about this, but can you explain some of the new government changes that came into place in September?
So the government have rolled out new funding for families. It's more accessible, which is fantastic because one of the biggest bills for families with young children is the cost of childcare. And they're now able to access a lot more funding from the age of 9 months. So we found a bigger intake in our baby room, and I think a lot of the other settings on the island have as well. And we're getting waiting lists for the babies and other age ranges. So parents are using this, and it's fantastic that they haven't got that bills at the end of the month.
Definitely. That was one of my other questions. How has it sort of impacted you guys then? So have you seen sort of the wait your wait list double, or what sort of impact have you seen since that announcement?
We've always had quite a long waiting list anyway, but I think we've noticed it more with the babies. We're getting lots and lots more inquiries, and we just haven't got the availability to take any more children in that room at the moment, and which is a shame. But it's such a fantastic idea. The parents are lovely. It's just horrible when you have to kind of say, no, I'm sorry, we've got a waiting list till September 27. So yeah, we've seen a big influx on especially the babies.
Bosses of a charity on Romney Marsh say the closure of a seafront car park has cost them £100,000 in revenue. The Coast Drive car park in Greatstone has been closed temporarily to allow redevelopments in the area. Operators of the Romney Marsh Community Hub, who run the cafe next to the site, say they've seen a dramatic drop in footfall and they've had to cancel some of their planned winter activities.
Kent Online News.
Figures given to the Kent Online podcast show more than 600 animals have been abandoned in Kent in the first 10 months of this year. That's almost 6% up on the same time in 2024. Cases include two black kittens, including one who was pregnant, found dumped in a plastic box in Canterbury. Chris O'Brien from the RSPCA says it's a real concern, especially at this time of year.
The winter is a massive concern for us. Obviously, we've been hit by this sudden plummeting temperatures this week. We've really felt winter is here. And that can be really difficult for animals, particularly with abandonment on the rise. If you think colder temperatures, darker nights, so some of these animals may not be seen. So we rely on the public to be our eyes and ears. Obviously, people not outside as much in this cold weather, darker much, much earlier. So what we're seeing in terms of numbers might unfortunately just be the tip of the iceberg. So winter is a big concern for us. It's why we've launched our new appeal, the Big Give Back to Animals, which is all about supporting our frontline officers who are really stretched at the moment and need the public support to keep getting to those animals in the worst situations of cruelty and neglect.
Yeah, I was going to say, Chris, how much pressure are RSPCA centres under at the moment if we're seeing this rise in abandonment?
Unfortunately, we are under a lot of pressure at the moment. A lot of our centres are full to bursting. Branches across Kent are working incredibly hard for animals out there on the front line. And it's a tough time for our inspectorate and our officers. We're seeing a lot of calls coming in, rising number of abandonment calls, and they're there to specialise in those calls of the most serious types of cruelty and neglect. It's what they do. And unfortunately, we are seeing really, really big numbers. It's why this appeal is really, really important, because we need to fund and get resources out to the front line. But we also need to spread awareness in terms of the correct way to look after animals. We know most people in Kent will be as shocked with these figures as we are and know how to look after the animals. And we're relying on those people to help us spread the message and say abandoning an animal is never acceptable.
We all know that people are facing a cost of living crisis, and many who perhaps have taken on a pet when they're in a better financial position are now struggling. So rather than dumping that animal, which, as you say, is not the right thing to do, what sort of advice are you guys giving out?
Look, we know the cost of living crisis is having a big impact. Our Animal Kindness Index tells us that things like pet food, vet bills, rising costs, energy are a real worry for pet owners. So we know that. But abandonment is never the answer. There are alternatives. So we've got a cost of living hub on our website full of tips and tricks if you are struggling. And there is a vibrant animal welfare sector out there ready to give advice and support.
Have you seen any trends in the sorts of animals that have been dumped, or is it wide ranging that have been abandoned in the county?
As you'd expect, dogs and cats tend to dominate these statistics, but by no means is it exclusively dogs and cats, unfortunately. We've seen small furries, like your hamsters, rabbits, guinea pigs. We've seen more exotic animals. We've seen equines. And it really does show that these pressures on animal owners extend to all different kinds of species, especially some of those that perhaps have more complex or difficult needs, like exotic pets, where people may not have done that necessary homework and don't appreciate the scale of commitment or cost that they need. So it really is a mixture in terms of the types of call that we see. And indeed, every one of those 600 plus in Kent will tell a slightly different, and in many cases, very different story about the animal involved.
The charity's launched a campaign to raise funds to help support frontline workers. Delays to cliff repairs in Folkestone have pushed back the £750,000 upgrade to Folkestone Lower Lees Coast Park. Work at the Adventure Play area was due to be finished next summer, but now won't start until spring. It's to allow essential cliff stabilisation works to take place following a landslide last year. Now, there's a warning for drivers that Bearstead Road in Maidstone is going to be closed every night this week. It'll shut from 8 p.m. until 5 in the morning between now and Friday, so work can be done as part of a £10 million improvement scheme. The route will be shut from the A249 to the Kim's roundabout, although access to the shopping village will stay open. Plans to convert a former cinema in Gravesend into flats have been approved 4 years after they were first submitted. The 1930s building in King Street will be part of a redevelopment which will see 43 flats built along with a communal amenity space. The majority of the building has already been demolished following a fire in 2009.
Kent Online News.
People in Kent have the opportunity to find out how they can engage with parliamentary process this week. The focus of this year's annual UK Parliament Week is petitions and how the public can use them to make an impact. Mid-Kent College is among the community groups signed up to take part. And as our sister station, KMFM's Give a Gift campaign continues, we've been hearing from a Kent charity about the difference it'll make to young children. They're collecting thousands of toys to deliver to those who'll be spending Christmas in hospital, living in care or facing difficult circumstances. Lucy's been chatting to Ruth Lee and Claire Coombs from Homestart Dover.
Homestart support families with challenging circumstances. We support any family that is referred to us with a child, at least one child under 5 years old. And it can be for any reason. It can be that family is experiencing isolation, that they don't have a particularly strong support network. It may be that there's mental health complications, that there's financial difficulty, especially in the current economic crisis. It can be multifaceted. We can often support families that have got a lot going on with children that are perhaps on the pathway for diagnosis for neurodiversity. And so we offer support through volunteer support and through a family group support network. And we also have some more targeted support that we offer through paid staff, which is family practitioner, and a project that we run alongside that for speech and language development.
And obviously you're involved in KMFM's Give a Gift campaign again this year. Why did you decide to get involved again?
Just because the toys that we had last year were absolutely fantastic. The children were really overwhelmed and excited on the day that they were given out at our family support group parties. And they just made such a difference to the families.
What's Christmas like for these children normally, and how much can, you know, a couple of brand new presents make to them?
A lot of our families will have different circumstances and situations that they're facing. It might be that actually some of our families don't have the funds to provide the wish list that children often will put on the table for them or send off to Father Christmas. So we're able to support and facilitate some of those wishes through generosity, like the gifts that come from KMFM. Again, families are different. There might be no grandparents. There might be families that are really fractured, and so they don't necessarily have the same coming in as a lot of other children would perhaps have the pleasure of getting.
And Claire, you mentioned that you were quite involved last year in actually delivering these gifts. What was it like to see the children and see their faces when they opened these toys?
Oh, just absolutely amazing. Just seeing the beams, you know, the smiles, and seeing the parents' faces as well. And the whole delivering out of it and taking them to families' homes, you know, turning up with bags of stuff and seeing even the parents' faces as well as the children's. It's just amazing to see.
You've got until next Friday to donate. You can find out how to get involved at kmfm.co.uk.
Kent Online Sports.
Football Now and Gillingham have been held to a 1-1 draw at home to Barnet in League 2. Bradley Dack equalised for the Gills on Saturday with a free kick just before half-time. Here's manager Gareth Ainsworth speaking after the match.
Poor first half for us. I've never seen us lose so many battles, you know, and that frustrated me, really did. You know, I thought we just looked a bit off it with the early kickoff or whatever. Second half, better team by far, you know, and looked like we could have got a goal. But we can't start games like that. We give ourselves too much to do, you know, and then it's a wonder free kick from Dacky at the end there to get us back in at half time. And the team talk was still the same. I was disappointed with the, it's just some of the lost battles and things like that, you know, because it's unrecognisable to me, you know. We tried to play a little bit more today, but doing that, we maybe lost that battle inside, you know, so I need to get them both in there. Second half, pleased with the boys, you know, pleased with the changes, the boys who came in, Travis making his league debut, you know, came in, I thought it looked assured. Good from the other subs who came on, but good from the boys who started the second half as well. It looked like we were the aggressors. Just got to score, you know. When we have the opportunities, I think we've got to be more clinical. We've got to be more ruthless and see opposition off, especially at home. You know, we too often we get in these great positions, 3v2 and things like that, and it's too easy to defend against this. So we really need to put the knife in there and go bang. We are, you know, we're gonna go for the jugular, because those moments don't happen a lot, you know, and you get two or three a game, you must make them into one or two goals at least. Frustrating afternoon, you know, and to be fair, I don't often criticise too much on the officials, but I just think that there could have been a couple of occasions where play could have been let go a little bit, where I know there's some nasty tackles in there and you bring them back and there's booking, but you can book 10 seconds later, and a goal and a booking will be much worse punishment than just the booking. I think he was too keen to stop a couple of attacks, and I was very frustrated with that as well.
Let's hear now from goal scorer Bradley Dack.
I think first half we weren't really at the races. Definitely got to play better than that. And in second half, I think we had the majority of the game. Just didn't do enough to get that winner. Frustrating, I'd say.
Yeah, it's almost as if we couldn't really get any momentum going, wasn't it? In the first half, conditions didn't help. But the gaff was saying it wasn't quite us.
No, it weren't us, yeah. We know what we're good at, playing on the front foot, playing in behind, getting up the pitch quick, and I don't think we quite got to grips with the game in the first half. Didn't land on enough second balls when that was the game, to get them second balls, and then that was where we could play after that. And yeah, first half, I don't think we quite managed that. Second half, a lot better, without really creating loads and loads. I think we have to be better around the box. Decision making in the final third's got to improve, and got to start making more chances to score goals.
Yeah, it's not as if we're not making the chances, it's just perhaps not being clinical enough when we have got them.
You have to be ruthless. I think if you look up at the higher divisions, that's the difference. Decision making's better, more ruthless in both boxes. So I think if you watch the Premier League tonight, when teams go 3 against 3, they're ending with a good chance normally. So that's the difference. Something we've got to work on in the training ground, and hopefully that'll come.
Right, let's talk about your free kick, shall we? 25 yards out, the keeper didn't really give you an awful lot to aim at, but right in the top bins, it must have been one of your better free kicks in your career.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's one of those, as soon as it leaves your foot, you kind of know got half a chance. It was a little bit downwind, which actually helps. obviously the ball goes quicker, and yeah, it was nice to see it nestle in the top corner.
Staying with football, and London City Lionesses are out of the Women's League Cup. The side, who trained near Aylesford, beat Ipswich Town 2-0 in their final group game. They missed out on qualifying based on goal difference. Meanwhile, Dartford have made it through to the third round of the Women's FA Cup for the first time. They beat Keynsham Town 2-1 in front of a record crowd at Prince's Park. And in rugby, Kent's Ben Earl has helped England complete a clean sweep in the autumn internationals. They beat Argentina 27-23 at Twickenham, extending their winning run to 11 tests. Kent's Alex Mitchell was also on the bench for yesterday's game. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads, no pop-ups, and exclusive stories. You can choose a subscription plan that works best for you. To find out more, just head to kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.